This is the Friday, August 19th, 2016 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. A sorting of the grain from the chaff saw traders pushing the market higher. For the week, September wheat increased a nickel, while the nearby corn contract broke a two-month losing streak and gained 12 cents. A return of the bean oil market helped fuel the soy complex this week as the September soybean contract added 28 cents. September meal declined $2.50 per ton. In the softs, December cotton continued to tumble dry on hot, down 11% in 2 weeks to shrink 262 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures rose 83 cents. The livestock sector tumbled again as the October cattle contract lost 427, September feeders shed 370, and the October lean hog contract ended positive for the second week with a 193 expansion. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index dropped again, this time 120 points. Crude oil gained 403 per barrel. Gold added $3 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index increased more than 20 points to finish the week at 370.40. Here now to lend us her insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Elaine Cobb. Elaine, welcome back.
Wonderful to be here.
We're glad to have you. Let's talk about this wheat market. Spring wheat harvest is moving right along. We're 60-65% complete. This wheat market still is not breaking lower. We're treading water.
Yeah.
Is that positive?
I think it is. As part of a broader story. I mean, wheat, we cannot say anything very nice fundamentally for wheat. You can sort of point to Europe. The French wheat yields are at a 30-year low, and they have poor quality. And so you are seeing some of that reflected into the USDA tables where they are increasing the feed demand. Some of this wheat is working our way. And then that's a bearish story for corn, so we can talk about that as part of that story. But really, other than that European story, the wheat market doesn't have anything very nice, positive to say price-wise, except for the broader economic picture or the broader commodity picture where that lower dollar has helped to boost commodity prices this week. And we may continue to see the investment market or the investors coming into the commodity markets as a hedge against inflation. So, you know, next week that's really going to be a headline to watch for.
Okay. So hopefully we'll continue to slowly move this market higher on broader news.
Yeah, I think so. Like I mentioned, so next week, the Jackson Hole Conference, Janet Yellen is going to be speaking. There's going to continue to be all of this guessing and second guessing about when the Fed might raise interest rates. And we don't ordinarily think that higher interest rates are a good thing for farmers or for the ag markets, but they may be, in that it may attract more of the investment money to be going long. And we're already seeing that in the Commitments of Traders report. We're already starting to see the investment side of the market bringing in more new positions, both long and short positions, but favoring wheat, frankly.
Okay, well, now let's talk about corn. You mentioned that we're losing corn feed to wheat as these wheat prices continue to be so cheap, especially on a cash basis. Yet corn is up, 10 cents mm-hmm. on the December contract. New crop exports have been very strong. Where can we push this market to?
I don't know that we're going to, I mean, really, this is the middle of August. We're looking down the barrel at a 15 billion bushel crop. This is the time frame to be freaking out about potential harvest bearishness coming down the line. I don't know that we're going to be able to push it much more bullish, except for, I mean, I think this 10 cents this week was based on the dollar going lower and, like I mentioned, the investment money coming in. But fundamentally, I don't think that we can anticipate a 15 billion bushel crop and start to think about higher corn prices.
Is the trade, in your estimation, do they believe that 15 plus billion bushel corn crop number today?
But I think the conventional wisdom is once that report came in, everybody sort of believed that's about as bearish as it's going to be. From this point forward, it can only really get corrected bullishly, right? That number can only be trimmed from this point forward. And we're seeing the commercial side of the market going long. Folks seeing this $3 new crop corn prices for cash prices and locking that in if you're a feeder or an ethanol mm-hmm. producer. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk about the soybean market. Bean oil takes center stage, and I want to launch with a question from Phil in Ontario, Canada. Phil is asking, how will the greater vegetable market impact soybean prices?
Veg oil market. And absolutely, Phil has locked on to, I think, the hidden factor behind some of the higher prices in the entire grain sector this week. So last Friday, when we had this big bearish report come in, and it was bearish for soybeans too, with a 4 billion bushel crop, that's another huge crop, but coincidentally or not, that same day, the Malaysian palm oil market was skyrocketing, and it has continued to skyrocket this week. There were at least a couple of days where it went up by 2% each day. So there's a lot of bullishness, that arbitrage where you could replace into the Chinese vegetable oil market. That's the market that's really driving, needing to get some more edible oils into their markets. That's what's driving the soybean oil, which is driving the soybean complex, which is just contributing, you know, some bullishness to the entire sector.
From a market structure perspective, how long can we have a divergence between bean oil and bean meal? I mean, how wide can that spread get? How long can bean oil lead a bean rally?
The bean oil can continue to lead it. I think, you know, building on that, a broader question is, how long can soybeans continue to be three times the price of corn? That's something that feels like really dangerous, potential for the soybean complex entirely to fall apart based on that difference. And to look at the difference between soybean meal and corn, as all of this whole feed sector, these things have fundamental price relationships that eventually they will snap back to. I don't know when, I don't know now, but sometime.
So how do you trade? How do you find that arbitrage opportunity between these discrepancies?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to time it correctly. I think right now we are seeing the funds continue to be going long in soybeans, soybean oil, soybeans, and short in corn. So they're still expecting this price relationship to continue or to even expand. But someday it's going to have to. Someday, unless the fundamental relationship between soybean yields and corn yields changes dramatically, someday that price relationship is going to snap back to 2.5.
So are you selling beans and buying corn down in here?
If you're willing to pay the margin calls for a very long time, okay, I predict that eventually that trade would work, yes.
Okay, but the market can stay irrational,
yes,
longer than you can stay solvent.
Exactly.
So with a grain of salt. Real quick on cotton, we continue to break this market down. We broke down through $70. Where do we find support?
Well, I think there is, you know, a general idea that it will consolidate around the $65 level or above 60. But, you know, there was some nice news in the WASDE report about, you know, slightly better demand from China and India. There was, you know, potentially someone would get worried about the flooding in Louisiana that you guys showed at the top of the show, but that's not really in the cotton areas. So nothing has helped it. Nothing has really helped it very much. And I think we're just hoping for consolidation.
Reverting back to our 2-year trade range. All right. Let's talk livestock. Live cattle down $4, trading around 110 again. On the futures side, the board or the cash side, I guess I haven't heard Friday afternoon if there had been much trade.
Thursday's business was about $1 down this week, so not really falling apart, no.
Okay, where do you see us heading from here?
Well, we did have the cattle on feed report today, so I think that could get a bearish interpretation on Monday. I think we have to be a little bit worried about retesting going below that 110 level or retesting July's low of 107. If this cattle on feed report had not come out, I wouldn't be worried about that at all. I would feel that that was in the past and the trend would be going forward. But what we saw that was not expected is we saw placements up about 2%, which, in the whole industry, we're expecting to see the cattle herd expanding by 2%. No big deal. But I think the market was expecting not to see such high placements with the idea that there would be more of the calves staying on grass. Now, I never thought that because I know that the Corn Belt itself is not experiencing drought, but a lot of the western cattle country, your Montana, Wyoming, western South Dakota, western Nebraska, is experiencing drought. And so I'm not surprised that we did continue to see the cattle coming into the feedlots in July.
Push them off the pasture,
onto
feed a little sooner than the trade was anticipating, and that's what you worry might create some downward price potential.
Potential.
Come Monday.
Yeah.
Feeder cattle, same story. We're down. Placements were up. I mean, we do have more calves coming on the ground.
Yeah, we are in danger. Yeah.
In danger to what? Where's the downside here, Elaine, in the short term? Let's talk fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the all of the calendar contracts there, it just erodes month by month by month, and you're looking at a 130 price when you're going into the spring contracts. So I think that is the expectation, that we'll continue to see more animals and sort of price erosion. I think that those are the dangerous numbers, yeah.
So if I'm a rancher, should I be selling those 130, 125 spring calves today?
It might make some sense to get some protection in here because the feedlots aren't making money either. You know, they're not going to be able to pay up necessarily. I think there is danger in the feeder cattle market, yes.
Okay. Lean hogs. This hog market, we broke the dollar, saw a little rise. Have we actually seen export demand increase, or is it mainly hope at this point?
I think that this is another investment-led rally because fundamentally, from the supply side, this is a very bearish market. We're continuing to see very large weekly numbers. And in August, you'd ordinarily expect to see the weights maybe drop, but because of the heat, that has not happened this month. So it's all bearish from a fundamental side. So to see that rally this week and to see it confirmed in, like I said, the positions of the investors, I think that's who's leading this.
Okay. Do you take advantage of this as a pork producer and hedge the market?
Sure, absolutely. But I think there may be continued opportunities ahead if we continue to see interest in the broader commodity sector. I don't know that it's going to fall apart, but it's nice that it has happened.
You bet. Now, as you were talking about Jackson Hole, the meeting of the FOMC next week, as we sit here today, the dollar closed on Friday at 94 and change, mm-hmm. 94.483. Looking ahead to that meeting, do you buy or do you sell the dollar index? What direction is it going to go come Janet Yellen's comments next week?
You know, it's really interesting that it has fallen apart this much because, honestly, there should be a positive correlation between the idea of interest rates going up and the dollar should also be going up. But it's not a hard and fast rule. I think what's actually happening is that you've got investors who are now finally seeing enough optimism to take their money out of money market funds and to stop hoarding the cash and to actually be putting it into some investments, into diverse, you know, lots of asset classes. So actually, I think that the dollar, regardless of what interest rates may do, we may continue to see money coming back out of cash. That's a good thing.
There is a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. Yeah. And so you would expect that to move into equities as well as commodities and see it across the board.
That's the prediction.
So is crude oil done climbing?
Maybe. I mean, it's climbed quite a bit, right? And the ethanol industry has benefited from that. But I think that the crude oil rise has risen pretty fast, pretty quickly.
Might be ready for a brief sell-off.
Yes.
All right. Well, Elaine Cubb, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week.
It has been a pleasure.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. But Elaine and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. Which one of our analysts grew up on a potato farm? Check out our newest podcast called M2M to hear that story and others. You can listen on our website or find it where you regularly download podcasts. And join us again next week when we hear from a group of antique tractor collectors who are harvesting a bumper crop of history lessons. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.